Amen. 2 Kings chapter 3. Good to have each and every one of you today. Thankful for the opportunity to worship with you. Amen. The Lord is good. He's faithful. Amen. And we're glad for this opportunity that he has blessed us with. 2 Kings. Amen. We're going to get into the Word of God. The Word is essential. Amen. The Word will keep you. Amen. When nothing else will sustain, the Word will sustain you. Praise God. I'm thankful for the living Word. Amen. And I'm glad it's life to me. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 6 and read through verse 17 today. If you stand for the reading of the Word, if you're able. Amen. If you don't have a Bible in your hand, we'll have it up there on the screen. Everybody got 2 Kings 3 and 6? Say a good amen.
Amen.
And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered and said, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts." Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. And we want you to give the Lord some praise for his word today. Come on.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We can praise the Lord. We can sing our way into the song. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated today. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on the thought, simply dig a ditch. Look at your neighbor and say, "Dig a ditch." Amen. Dig a ditch. Praise God. The king of Moab had given Israel a sheep as a tribute for taxation. Amen. Ahab was the king at the time. We know of Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Amen. So he was king, and he put a taxation upon the surrounding areas. And Moab had given sheep as the payment of their taxation. But Ahab had died, and now the king of Moab wanted to take the sheep back. He wanted to take all the sheep back that he had given. So Israel and Judah joined forces to find a man to take Moab, a man to keep him from defeating them and taking that sheep. And along with the king of Edom, the three of them now began to come together to fight against Moab to prevent him from coming to take the sheep. So now there was a war over sheep, if you will. Amen. So now we have three kings en route to go against Moab. A 7 days' journey, the Bible tells us. Amen. And it says that they had no water. Now, Jehoram, a man which was the king of Israel, had a guilty conscience because of his sin. Now, he was the son, a man of Ahab. And the Bible says that he was not as wicked as Ahab, but he still was a wicked king. Amen. So we see, amen, that he is the one that came to Jehoshaphat and asked Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, to join together with him to go against Moab. And Jehoshaphat said, because your people are my people, that we will join together and we will try and prevent this from happening. Amen. So we see that Jehoshaphat prayed to amen, the prophet Elisha. Amen. He was godly. Amen. And God heard the cry. Amen. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And because of this, God had heard his cry. Amen. And I wonder this morning, have you ever been caught off guard by circumstances? Amen. That came all of a sudden. They came from out of nowhere. Circumstances, amen, that just arose. Amen. I'm talking about situations that you weren't prepared for. I'm talking about the unexpected, and I mean that in a negative connotation and not a positive connotation for today. Amen. You were not expecting them. From out of nowhere comes, amen, this problem, these situations, these circumstances that you were not expecting. See, it's one thing if you're anticipating a problem and then you have to deal with it. It's because you prepare for it. You train for it. You get your mind ready for it. You get yourself mentally prepared for what you are about to encounter. Amen. But when it shows up from out of nowhere and you weren't ready to take to brace that negativity, amen, you were not ready to brace the attack, amen, the pain that comes with it, you were not ready, amen, to brace the uncertainty, amen, you weren't prepared, and so it caught you off guard, amen, and for some, those circumstances may have sent you reeling and rocking, amen, hallelujah. This is kind of what we see here in this situation, amen, in chapter 3 with these three kings that had made their route, amen, to fight the king of Moab. They had prepared for battle against Moab. We know that they were trained, but they were prepared and they were ready, and they got their strategy and everything in place. They decided from which point they were going to geographically be to attack them. What would be the best place to pursue the attack? And so they made out on their journey en route. The Bible says 7 days. Amen. Praise God. You got three military forces here who had strategized to attack Moab. Amen. Who was an enemy. But there was one thing that they did not prepare for, and that was to run out of water. Isn't it amazing, amen, that three kings, amen, three people who had military experience and military, amen, intelligence, thought of everything to prepare for battle, but they did not think to bring extra water. And so as they were on their route and journey, amen, to fight this battle that they thought they were ready and prepared for, amen, the unexpected came up. Hallelujah. They ran out of water. Hallelujah. They had already decided who was going to lead. Who was going to lead from this direction? Who was going to attack from this direction? Praise God. Even, amen, to the point to where they had it all planned out, and they set a compass and they knew exactly where they were going. But the unexpected came and they ran out of water. Amen. They were thirsty. Amen. They were tired. The cattle, amen, and the animals that were with them, praise God, were tired. They were thirsty. Have you ever been so preoccupied, amen, with this that you forgot about that? Have you ever been so preoccupied in life, amen, that you forgot about something something, and then all of a sudden, amen, it comes out of nowhere, amen, and you think, oh man, I forgot, amen, I forgot to do that, I forgot to get that, hallelujah. They had not been prepared for the water to run out. And here's what happened. It suddenly stopped their progress. It suddenly had to make them stop, amen, and consider what was going on. Now what was one battle, what was one war, now turned into two. Because if they were going to continue on their journey, they were going to need water. If they were going to go, you understand, this was a desert. This was not, amen, a way that was full of lush trees and shade and, amen, streams and rivers. They were crossing down because they had strategized that going through the valley was going to be the best route to attack from the south. Amen. And so they had not prepared, and now they were not going to be able to continue the journey. Amen. They had halted their progress. Amen. What do you do now? Amen. You give your full attention. What is it now that they had to do? They had to pay attention to the fact that they didn't have water, and what were they going to do? And it's just like us when we come, amen, when circumstances and a problem arises out of nowhere, amen, the unexpected report, the unexpected diagnosis, the unexpected bill, amen, the unexpected news, amen, the unexpected sickness, so many different things, amen, that will rise up that we might not be prepared for. Now you've got to give your attention, amen, you got to try to keep your attention on what you're supposed to be doing and what matters, but now you've got this that you were not prepared for, this that you did not expect. Where do you now get your full attention? Where is it now that you put your focus? Now you're trying to just survive because something has taken your attention. You get in that mode, if I can just survive today and not have to think about tomorrow. You cannot, amen, because of the unexpected. Amen, because it came out of nowhere. Now your attention has to go to this matter. You don't even have time to think about what you're going to do tomorrow, because the focus is on how am I going to survive today. See, they could not think about moving forward and defeating Moab, even though they had the weapons, they had the intelligence, they had the experience. There was something, amen, that they were missing that was essential, amen, to their progress, and that was water. They were thirsty and they were tired, amen, and they needed this water to sustain. Now every moment was, what are we going to do? We don't have water. We can't move forward because we will not have our strength. So they couldn't even think about getting, amen, making progress the next day. Has anybody ever been there? Amen, with the unexpected and with that that comes out of nowhere. You had everything set, planned out. Amen, life. You had everything you thought was in place, and then out of nowhere comes these situations, these circumstances, comes this unexpected problem. Now it's taking your attention away from what matters. Amen. So you're just trying to survive through the day. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, when you get to that place, it changes your vocabulary. It changes your language. I need somebody to hear me today. I don't plan to keep you long, but I've heard from the Lord today. Because up until that moment, when the unexpected comes, when those that problem shows up out of nowhere, you can talk of faith, you can talk of victory, you can talk of breakthrough, and it's not hard. But now the vocabulary changes because of these unexpected circumstances. Hallelujah. Worry begins to set in. You begin to talk, amen, about defeat. You begin to talk, amen, it's harder to talk about faith. harder to talk about victory. It's hard to focus on the next day. It's hard to trust and believe. Hallelujah. And now we have that king. Amen. The king of Israel, Jehoram, the one who said to Jehoshaphat, let's go fight. Now he's saying God has done this to us. Now here God has brought these three kings out here in the middle of the desert, all because of my sin. Judgment is upon us. God has set us up, and now we're going to come out here and be defeated. Hallelujah. Judgment is here. Running out of water is the judgment of God. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever got to that place? Amen. Where you felt like maybe if I would have done this or I would have done that or I should have said this or I should have said that. Amen. You allow the enemy to let you take, amen, blame for what's happening. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. Now his vocabulary, his language has changed. Hallelujah. And he's not sure what's going on. Now it's panic over peace. Amen. This comes from that unexpected. That comes when the unexpected shows up. Amen. Where are you, God? Do you even see me? God, do you even hear me? You heard Sister Lori say it. Amen. When she was saying it, I was like, go right ahead. Because you're just bringing a prelude to the message that the Lord gave me. Why ain't you hearing me? Don't you see me going through what I'm going through? I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Come on, we say it. Hallelujah. I've done this and God, I'm trusting and believing in this and I continue to this and I've said this and I've been remained here and I've done this. But God, do you see me? Do you even hear me? Do you even care? Do you even realize? But Jehoshaphat, he said, wait a minute. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. Oh, hallelujah. He said, is there a prophet among us? And in the Old Testament language, the prophet is the one who can hear from God. But today, we all can hear from God. Are you hearing me? The way the prophet did. He said, where's the prophet? He said, before we give up, let's talk to God. Before we give in, before you keep talking all that negativity, he said, let's talk to God. Let's see if there is not a remedy. I come to tell somebody this morning, before you give up, talk to God one more time. Before you throw in the towel and you allow the problem, the unexpected that came from out of nowhere, that problem that has arisen, before you allow it, amen, to overtake, amen, your circumstances and your thought process in your life, talk to God one more time. Is there not a prophet among us that can talk to God? Where's the prophet? You've all but given up and you feel like you can't take any more. But you say, let's pray first. Let's talk to God. Let's see what God has to say. When you don't feel like coming to the house of God, but you go anyway. When you feel like going to church this morning will not make a difference, you go anyway. When you say, wait a minute, before we get in, let's pray first. Can I tell you, hell does not like it when we have that kind of mindset. Hell does not like it whenever, hallelujah, things of soul surrounding you and so out of sorts. And by all rights, are you with me? By all means, you could, amen, justify maybe backing away or maybe, you know, not going to church. But you say, you know what? I'm going to go to church anyway. I'm going to show up anyhow. I'm going to pray up first. Hell doesn't like it, amen, when this happens. You see, here's the thing, amen, when Jehoshaphat ask, is there a prophet among us? Is there a prophet near? One of the servants answered and said, yes, there is the prophet Elisha. He is the one, and listen to how they described him. He is the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, this means, amen, that he was a servant. But think about it. I thought about it this morning. Amen. They said, he is the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. Hallelujah. This prophet, amen, poured out what they needed. Amen. This prophet poured out the water of what they needed. See, this is why, amen, the enemy doesn't want you to go ahead and come to church this morning, because he knows that God is going to pour out what you need. He knows that God has got what you need. Oh, somebody help me. He knows that if, amen, the preacher, the pastor is in tune with him, that God is going to show you and that God is going to let you know that, yes, I see you, that there's something, amen, that he has to pour out that is going to be what you need. Hallelujah. When what you're going through is connected to what's being preached. Anybody relate to that? Amen. When what is being preached, I don't know how many times I get messages after preaching. Amen. And people say, that was for me. And several people will say, that message was just for me. If it wasn't for anybody else, it was for me. Amen. Praise God. And they don't know. Amen. But two or three other people have already said the same thing. That message was just for me. Why? Because with what you're going through, it's connected to what is preached. God is letting you know that, yes, I see you. And this is why the enemy wants you to give up. This is why the enemy wants you to throw in the towel. Amen. That's why he don't want you to show up. That's why he don't want you to stand in the place of a praiser. He wants you to stand in the place of one who has backed up, one who has sat down, but he doesn't want you in that place with your hands lifted up when the brokenness inside of you is overwhelming to the point that sometimes it literally takes your breath, that you feel like you're smothering due to the circumstances, but yet you stand and lift your hands, and somehow God pours out, hallelujah, what it is that you need, that you are connected. That's why it matters where you worship.
Amen.
We say that again. It matters where you worship. Because when what you're going through is connected to the message, to the word that's being preached, makes a difference. So they ask Elisha to prophesy. They said, we need a word. We need a word, Elisha. We need to hear from God. In verse 14, if you could pull that back up. Elisha's response to Jehoram was, I really don't want to tell you anything. I really don't want to tell you anything, because why don't you go to the prophets of your mom and dad? His mom and dad was Ahab and Jezebel. You remember what happened with Jezebel's prophets on Mount Carmel. Huh? He said, why don't you go to the prophets of your mother and father? He said, I don't really want to tell you anything. He said, but because you are connected to Jehoshaphat, because of your connection to Jehoshaphat, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even look in your direction. Which is pretty harsh words. How many thankful for the prayers that covered you when you didn't deserve to be covered? How many thankful for those times when, oh, come on, somebody, when God didn't even have to look your direction, but because of your connection to prayer, because of those who had covered you in prayer, I'm so thankful for the times that I was covered in prayer, because I know all the prayers that my mom prayed for me, covering me with prayer, is why I'm still standing here today, even after she's gone. It's because of those prayers. He said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I would not even look your direction. I wouldn't even see you. I wouldn't even think about giving you the time of day. Hallelujah. But he said, listen, hallelujah, because of Jehoshaphat. He said, bring me a musician. Hallelujah, bring me a musician. Do you understand, amen, the power of music? Do you understand the power that God put behind the origin and the creation of music? This is why music has become such a force, amen, in the world. Amen. When you can look at all the different kinds of music and how that music can get people to do things that they normally would not do because of the suggestion of music. Are you hearing me? Amen. So he said, bring me a musician. And the Bible says that the anointing came upon Elisha. Now I want you to notice something. The anointing didn't come upon the musician. The anointing came upon Elisha. Are you hearing me? Can I say that this right here, amen, that the gifting is not to bring us glory. Our gifting and our talents and our abilities is not to bring us glory, but it is to release the presence of God into the atmosphere. It wasn't about how well, amen, that musician played. It wouldn't have been how well that musician sang. It would have been the fact that musician, amen, brought the anointing into the atmosphere so that God's presence, amen, could be revealed. So don't think it's about you, singers. Don't think it's about you, musicians. It ain't about anything that you can do or anything that you can play or the ability, amen, but it is about whether or not when you play, when you sing, that the presence of the Lord is released into the atmosphere. I know that's a different message for a different time, but I just had to say it, amen, right here. Hallelujah, because, amen, the presence of God came upon Elisha, and Elisha began to speak, amen, on behalf of the Lord, and he said, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. He said, dig ditches all in this valley. Now, I don't know about you. Listen to me for just a minute this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That would take blind faith. I want to know, praise God, listen, if I was thirsty and I was traveling and I was already tired and I was already thirsty and I was already hot and I was already having to listen, amen, to the sound of the animals and all of everyone talk about how thirsty and how hot they were, the last thing I would have wanted God to tell me to do was dig a ditch. The last thing that I would have wanted to do was, amen, dig ditches in the whole valley. Hallelujah. Can you imagine hearing that? Hallelujah. No strength, weary and thirsty, but yet he said, dig a ditch. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, amen, that takes blind faith. Hallelujah. They said, I want to hear from God. Is there something that God can tell us? Amen. He said, yeah, make this valley full of ditches. You that are going through these unexpected situations, these things that have come out of nowhere, that has put you in that valley. Hallelujah. God said, make that valley full of ditches. Are you kidding me right now? You want me to dig a ditch in the midst of my weariness when I'm tired? God, I done told you that I can't do this and I can barely make it. I done told you I'm too old for this. Hallelujah. I've said that, hallelujah, myself. I done told you, God. Don't you see me? Do you not see these circumstances? Now you're telling me to pick up a shovel and to get in the heat and dig in this dry, barren dirt in this valley. And not just one ditch, hallelujah, but we got to fill the valley full of ditches. Hallelujah, that takes blind faith. Hallelujah, can I tell you, amen, they have been traveling for days. Amen. They had already been on their journey, traveling. But can I tell somebody today, hallelujah, if God says dig a ditch, you are stronger than you think you are. Oh, somebody help me. She already said it. Hallelujah. All that you went through and all that you've been through, but yet here you are today. You're standing in the presence of the Lord with your hands lifted up. See, when you are weak, that's when his strength intercepts and begins to take over. Come on, somebody. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary while digging ditches. For in due season you shall reap that which you sow if you faint not. Why? Somebody help me in this place. Hallelujah. See, the enemy assumed that they were done. The enemy assumed that that was the end. He assumed that you were done. But the word said, dig a ditch. God said, you ain't done. I come to tell somebody in the house today, you ain't done. Go ahead, dig a ditch. Why, somebody help me in this place. Feel the Holy Ghost in this moment. The enemy thought it was finished. The enemy thought your mind was too far gone. The enemy thought your marriage was over. The enemy thought your finances were beyond repair. The enemy thought, amen, that it was too late. The doctor's report said this, but I've come to tell you today, hallelujah, the word says dig a ditch. Look at your neighbor and say, dig a ditch. Why dig holes in the valley? Dig a hole in the valley. What? Come on. I know I'm not the only one to come out of this. At least in the glory. The ground is dry. It's those streets. It's nothing. Yeah, the sun always goes down. Because you know you're so weak.
Yeah.
You just gotta push even harder. You gotta hit it even harder. You gotta save it for one hole even longer. I thought this one, I wonder how deep they had to make the holes. You know, how deep was the ditch, right? Like, we're not talking about just be like you're telling somebody, hey, go out there and dig a ditch, and you go and they dug about that deep. That ain't a ditch. A ditch is made to hold something. A ditch is made to serve a purpose. So we're talking about
right.
Some deep digging. And according to the scripture, the enemy of Moab could see them. And see that. Sometimes it's that. Now, I don't know about you, but if I get so far, I'm done mad.
Right.
Like, I'm done. It's beyond, oh gosh, I can't believe I have to do this, sir. It's so sick and hot that I can't hardly stand it. I'm done past it. I'm going to push, and I'm going to get mad.
Yep.
I assume that's stubborn.
Yep.
I don't know. Will. Determination. That's my description. But it's that, you know, it's those last few pushes. Or when you know you got to go so deep and then you look and you're only halfway. Oh, my God. Right? Yeah. Just got to keep digging. And you don't just have to dig one. You just got to keep digging until the valley's full. Everybody's digging. Let me tell you something. You're not the only one digging this morning. You hear me? You're not the only one digging. There's plenty of people around you that are digging the ditch in the valley the same as you are. So they were all digging ditches. But it's hot. You got to think, digging a ditch for what? Right? Like, digging a ditch. And so here you are. Why dig holes in the valley? This one I heard this morning. To make room for the unexpected. Nobody that passed through that valley prior to them expected there to be any water. And it was dried up. There was no stream beds, there was no river beds, there was nothing that was there to hold water. So see, sometimes God allows us to get in these dry places. And he asks us to dig a ditch because we need to make room for the unexpected. When we don't make room for the unexpected, we just assume the same old, same old. That nothing's going to change. Come on, somebody. But digging a ditch, even though you're hot and thirsty and tired and weary, is an indicator that you are expecting change. Now look at your neighbor and say, dig a ditch.
Dig a ditch.
Dig a ditch. You see, some of you got to empty out some places in your life to make room for God to show up. See, we want God to show up. We want God to answer, and we want God to do, but we gotta make room. We gotta empty some places in our life to give him more access. And now they're digging these ditches and wondering, how's it gonna happen? How is this going to happen? See, I only read to verse 16 because verse 17 says this, for thus says the Lord, you will not see wind, neither will you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts.
Bless the Lord.
What?
Right.
So, see, rain is the normal way for water, for a ditch to get filled. But see, God's saying when the unexpected comes, you got to make room for my unexpected. Are you hearing me? Listen, he said, you will not see wind. Because you know what we'd be doing? We'd be getting halfway down that ditch. Is it raining yet? We get halfway up there. Oh, I feel the wind. You smell that? You smell the sun. Here comes the wind. Oh, here comes the rain. Hallelujah. We can stop digging now. Would we not? Because we would be satisfied with only how deep we had gotten, instead of digging it all the way to make it a ditch and then allowing God to fill it. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to help somebody. God's trying to help somebody this morning. See, that's blind faith. When you don't know how it's going to come, but he said, you will drink. Because you see, the answer isn't coming the way that you expect. Amen, sister Lori. It's not coming the way that we expect. But God said, I will fill what you make room for. I will fill what you make room for. Dig that ditch. See, here's the thing. There's already provision before you dig the ditch. When God created the heaven, was creating the earth, what did he say to the darkness? He said, let there be light. And there was light. That means light was already there. He just spoke it into the darkness. Are you hearing me? Light was already there. So provision is already there. You just got to dig in. Touch somebody and say, it's already there. It's already there. See, what you need is already there. We pray and fast our guts out to make a miracle happen. And we can't do that. We do not make anything happen through our works. Our works show God and others that we believe that what we need, God already has. And so through our obedience and commitment to him and our love for him, are you hearing me? Are you understanding me? Because if we saw it coming, we wouldn't dig.
Come on.
As soon as the first cloud would hit the sky, we'd be like, oh. Are you hearing me? You don't tell me the truth. From the pulpit all the way to the last car in the parking lot. It's the truth. We would quit. We would not dig if we saw it coming. When Moses was at the Red Sea, when he began to talk to God about what was hindering them, right? Hello, God. There's a sea here. Now, you done said for us to go this way. Right? Remember? They wanted to take the normal route and the easy route, but God said, no, I want you to go this direction and go this way. Oh, happy Jesus. It's been a while since we preached like that.
Yes.
I don't want you to go the normal way. I don't want you to go the way that everybody else goes. I got to wait for you to go. There's a way that seems right to man, but you know, that way is death. I have a way that I want you to go, because the footsteps of a good man are ordered by God. So Moses is praying, and God said, Moses, stop praying. What? He said, stop praying and just move.
Huh. Well.
That's what he said. Stop praying, Moses, and just do something. Oh, come on. Sometimes it's easier to say it. Oh, God.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Than it is to take that blind step of faith and say, okay, God, I trust you. There's a sea in front of me, but I'll move forward anyway. He said, stretch forth that rod. Move, Moses. Stop praying and just act on it. Move on it. See, that's blind faith. That's digging a ditch when you don't see any chance of rain anywhere. Coming out of nowhere. See this winter weather, this blast is coming. Everybody like
that. Because it's still November.
No! Right? Because we didn't see it coming. Right? That unexpected. Because here's the thing. Here's something I'm learning late in my relationship with God. In my mature years. Is that the miracle doesn't come after the faith. It comes after the movement. It comes after you act. And you take that step of faith. It doesn't come after you believe. It comes after you take the step on the fact that you do believe. Are you with me? That makes sense to you? Amen. The miracle doesn't come just because you believe. God's not silent. We're just still. You hear me? Say that again. God's not silent. We're just still. You said, but you said, stand still, Moses, and see the salvation. It wasn't in that.
Right.
He was like, calm down, Moses. Watch your delivery. I would not have brought you this way. Don't you think I knew this sea was here before I told you back there to go this way? I told you to dig a ditch. I didn't tell you that you were responsible. See, here's the thing. When we put the miracle hinged on just our faith and hinged on our works, then it becomes our responsibility to make it happen. Come on. And it is not our responsibility. See, the sea parted when? When Moses moved. That's when the sea parted. Moses was sat there praying, oh God. God's like, shh, move. Shh, move. Stretch forth your rod. Stop praying. It's like a dog to you, Moses.
Come on.
Oh, hallelujah. Stop freaking out so you can hear me. Stop panicking. Stop becoming so overridden with anxiety that you can't hear me. I'm trying to talk to you. Because see, here's the thing. The timing isn't ours to handle. And when we look at it in that way, it's like we're taking the responsibility for when it happens. The timing of it isn't ours to handle. I don't want that responsibility.
All right.
But how often do we take it upon ourselves? Because we see it the wrong way. He said, move, and I'll move with you. Go, and I'll go before you. Are you hearing me? And so, the Bible says, they began to dig those ditches, blind faith. God said it's not going to, there's not going to be any wind. There's not going to be any rain. But out of nowhere, I'm going to fill those ditches with water. I like to know how it came. Like, I know it just came, but just unexpected. Make room. See, God is saying to some people this morning, dig the ditch. Make room for the unexpected, because there's been some unexpected circumstances. Some things that have came from out of nowhere. And God said, I need you to empty out some places in your life. I know you're in the valley, but while you're in that valley, dig a ditch. Dig a ditch while you're in the valley. The Bible says, when you read the rest of the story, the Bible says the next morning that the Moabites looked down in the valley. This is so cool. Said they looked down in the valley and they saw the water. Okay, now picture it. God said, dig this valley full of ditches. So now this valley, we know, is full of ditches, right? So this whole valley has holes. God said, I will fill it. The Bible says that when the morning sun was shining on the water that was in the ditches, it was red. It looked red because of the morning sun. And they thought it was blood. And they said, they've done turned on themselves. They've gotten weary, frustrated, and they've done killed themselves. Said, that valley's full of blood. Think of that. Think of that. That the red sun of the morning, weeping endured, that's the first thing I thought. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I thought, God, who knows what my morning sun is going to make the enemy think that I've done. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. Amen. They were seeing a mirage. They thought they were seeing blood. And they're like, they've done killed each other. That's a bloody mess down there. And so, amen, the Bible says, and I love what the complete Jewish Bible says. It says that the king of Moab said, off to plunder. We're not going to fight. We're going to plunder. We're going to go take all of the spoils from them. And so they went down in that valley full force with the mindset that they were already defeated and they were going to go down and they were going to take all the spoil and they were going to plunder, amen, the spoils of that war. But the Bible says that when they came down in that valley, from this direction, that direction, that direction, that direction, the armies of Israel rose up, overtook them, caught them off guard, took them by surprise, and defeated the Moabites. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. In a way that they did not expect to have to defeat them. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, amen, that God will take what was unexpected in your life and he will bring the unexpected to the enemy. Amen. The enemy thought, amen, that they were finished. The enemy thought he saw defeat. But God, are you hearing me? So I'm inclined to believe that they went to bed with the ditches empty. I'm inclined to believe that when they went to sleep, they were tired from digging ditches. But somewhere in the night, before the morning sun rose up on the horizon, God filled up the ditches with water just in time for the enemy, amen, to see a mirage and think, amen, that it was one thing when it was really another. Can I tell you that the word preceded the water? And we've got the word that says whatever you need, God already has it. All they had to do was dig a ditch. And that's what you have to do this morning, is dig a ditch. I've come today to tell somebody to keep digging the ditches. Keep praying. Keep releasing your praise. Keep showing up. Keep trusting the word of God as truth. Moab thought it was over. Moab thought they gave up. The king thought they turned on themselves. That's why the enemy loves it when Christians argue and debate on social media. Because it becomes a bloodbath. And then the onlookers, those that are enemies to the word of God, looks at it and says, well, they're just defeating themselves. They're just against one another. They're so mad and angry and upset. It is looking today for somebody here to give up. He's telling you, God's ignoring you. God doesn't see it. He says, just give up. Just relax. Just pull back. It doesn't take that much. All that is not necessary. You don't need to.
That's right.
Show up and take your position to praise and to worship. But God's saying, dig an inch. Keep digging. That ditch. I know you feel tired, and I know you're weary, and I know you're thirsty. And I know you feel like that you're so weak that you can't push that shovel one more time. No way can you shovel out another. Shovel of dirt. But God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Let's say you're ready to come to the music. I don't know who's here today. If you feel like your efforts are in vain. God says he's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Rapha. He says he's Jehovah Nissi. But you can't see where it's coming from. But the provision is already there. God just needs you to make room for the unexpected. Make room when the unexpected, some of you thought you had your life, and I'm talking your natural life and even your spiritual life. You had ministry all planned and figured out. But then the unexpected has come. And you believe that God is the provider. That God is saying this morning, David, that blind faith that says move. He's saying that I shared a thing this morning that said revival isn't always about fire. It's about faithfulness. Remember Elijah? When God came the earthquake, and he looked and thought for sure that was God, and God wasn't there. The wind came, he thought it was the wind, and it wasn't there. But it was in that still small voice. We're saying that looking for the sign of rain, when God said there will not be a wind, there will not be rain, but I will fill and you will drink, and so will your cattle and all your animals. You will drink. I will. My word. Because the miracle comes after you move. It takes blind faith to pick up that shovel and dig a ditch when you're already weary and tired and thirsty. And it's hot and the ground is dry and it's not easy. It takes blind faith to say, I'm not giving in, I'm not giving up. I'm going to stick with this, I'm going to hang with this. Make room. God to fill with his unexpected. Send me across this place. Message for today was going to be something completely different. That God changed it. Some of you come in this morning and you see that picture with that handle, that shovel, pushing in the ground and breaking up that dirt in that ground. What it looked like when you lifted your hands today and praised the Lord anyway. The old song says the talk of faith is when you're up on the mountain, but it's when you're down in the valley. And God says, dig a ditch. And I'm not going to show up the way that you are used to, the way that you expect. So you're not going to know what to look for. All you got to do is make room. Give me something to fill. So this morning, as they get ready to worship, if you're in this place, first of all, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're not saved and you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord, I want to give you that opportunity right now. And to give you the opportunity to come and say yes to Jesus. The Bible says if you believe that Jesus died, rose, and is now seated at the right hand of God, died for your sins, and you confess that you're a sinner and believe and repent of your sins, you'll be saved. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to come. Maybe you're here this morning, you came in here, and your life has been overtaken by unexpected circumstances, an unforeseen problem, something that came out of nowhere that you weren't prepared for. You don't know what you're going to do. God's saying, dig a ditch. God's giving you your answer today. I want you to come to one of them with you. Is everyone going to worship?